It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Today on It's a Good Life, I'd like for us to continue our study about God's church. Well, the last time we looked at some things in the book of Acts and other sections of Scripture, and I want to recall to your attention some of the things that we studied back then. First, we see that God's church was a visible church, according to Acts chapter 2. Then we see some actions that took place in that local church at Jerusalem. They were steadfast. These are the people. They were steadfast in the apostles' teaching. That means doctrine, teaching of the Word of God. They were faithful. Then they had fellowship one with another, a group of like-minded people sharing common interests, goals, experiences, and views. And the people also remembered. They remembered the Lord. They remembered His death. Of course, we see that when they went from house to house breaking of bread. And this is something that we Baptists like to do. We like to break bread. We like to eat a lot. But if it went deeper than this back then, we know that it should be deeper today for us, because they not only ate together, but they remembered the Lord and they had the Lord's Supper as they went from house to house. It says in those verses, "And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house." You see, they not only ate a meal together, I believe they also observed the Lord's Supper. Well, let me read to you once again now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. "After the same manner also he took the cup," and this, of course, is Jesus, "and when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.'" Well, we also saw that the people there in the Jerusalem church, the visible church, they prayed. It says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. We notice that not only were they steadfast, not only did they have fellowship, not only did they remember the Lord, they prayed. They continued steadfastly. They did what God wanted them to do as a local church. And we also mentioned last time about attitudes. The first attitude that I mentioned there was they agreed. They continued daily. This means they were consistent. They were with one accord. They were in agreement. There was no arguing, backbiting, or disagreement as to who was in charge of his church. We need to take note of that today in churches, that it's God's church. There should be no backbiting, arguing, or disagreement if we follow the example given here of this early church of Jerusalem. Well, we see that there is a progression that takes place there, as you know, we've looked at that, and it's how they listened to the Lord, how that the church was set up according to His plan. Not man's plan, but it was set up according to God's plan. God was in charge. It was and is His church today. The temple in these verses, this was their meeting place. We read about the temple many times where the Christians would go to worship. That's where the people were at, and they would preach the Word of God to these people in the temple. Well, verse 46 says this, "And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house," Acts chapter 2 and verse 46. Not only were the people in agreement, but the people were thankful. And I believe this is very important. They were thankful for what they shared together. They no doubt ate meals together as the Lord did with His disciples just before He was crucified. In Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 and 27, it says this, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Once again, it says, as they were eating, they had a meal together. And then they observed the Lord's Supper with him. He was there. And that's what we're to do today as a local church. We're to gather our hearts together. We're to be in agreement. No backbiting. Nothing going on there that should interfere with our relationship with the Lord or each other. Notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse 46, it says, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Well, these people had one goal, and that was to exalt Jesus Christ. Well, the people agreed and the people were thankful. And also, the people had praise, not praise for each other. I'm sure they appreciated each other, but this was something that we need to understand today, that they had praise to God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, I believe when we follow these basic guidelines in local churches today, understanding that we need to be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and that's God's teaching, in fellowship, being like-minded people together serving God, remembering our Lord, his death, burial, and resurrection, and praying continually in prayer. And our attitude needs to be one of agreement, no backbiting, no arguing, no disagreements whatsoever. And the people were thankful. We need to be thankful today that Jesus Christ first loved us and gave his life for us. We see then that the people had praise. We need to be praising God constantly, not only individually, but as a church. Now notice something else with me, if you would. Notice some results that took place in this early church. I see the first thing that took place was fear. Why? Why was there fear? Well, the Holy Spirit was present and signs and wonders were done by the apostles. According to Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, it says, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Well, please keep this in mind. A few weeks before what we are reading about, Jesus was crucified. And just before the crucifixion of Christ, the Bible says in Matthew 26 and verse 56, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Remember this, even Peter had denied the Lord just before the crucifixion. And now, after Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and we read about that in our, we've already read about that in the previous studies, and after he preached on the day of Pentecost, possibly some of those same people who had cried, crucify him, crucify him, had received Jesus Christ as Savior. People who had received Christ as Savior were now proclaiming him as Lord instead of denying him. Well, those who were watching the happenings in Jerusalem, in this early church, knew that something supernatural was taking place on the day of Pentecost. They had never seen anything like it. They were filled with wonder and awe and had a great reverential fear of what they were seeing with their own eyes. So therefore, the Bible says, and fear came upon every soul. They knew something supernatural had taken place and was happening in their midst. Now, not only was there fear, but there was unity. It says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 44, and all that believed were together. Well, you see, now they were joined together for the same cause. They were united. One of the best means for strengthening the faith of young converts is for them often to meet together for prayer, conversation, and praise. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not only was there fear and unity, but the church had all things common. You read about that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 44, as well as it says they had all things common. And in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Well, I believe that the Christians shared with each other what they had, but I also believe it goes deeper than that. And I'm speaking of the early church. I believe what they shared was more important than anything else they had. And that was the common salvation, meaning the gospel is for everyone. Not only did they share what they had with each other, they shared what they had with people who were not with them, who were not members of that local church, who had never trusted Jesus as Savior. In Jude chapter 1, and of course there's one chapter there, verse 3 it says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." We as Christians, we should not hold onto what we have as such and not give it out. We should let other people have it. What we have is eternal life, and we need to share that with people who are around and about us as we come into contact with them daily. And this is what the early church did. They spoke the word of God. They continued in the apostles' doctrine, that is, the teachings of God. They shared that not only with each other, not only encouraging each other, but they went out and told others about the saving grace of God, of Jesus Christ. Well, notice something else here that took place that was happening. They had all things common, as we think about this, and we also notice that they sold possessions. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 45, it says this, "And sold their possessions and goods." Well, now, do we read in Acts chapter 5 how that Ananias and Sapphira held back part of their price for the land? We now read this, and in the Word of God, it says they died because they lied about how much they had given to the church. They died not because they didn't sell everything, but because, as Peter said in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, that they lied to the Holy Ghost, to God, about how much they sold the property for and as to how much they were giving to the church for the Lord's work. They said that they had given all the selling price, when in actuality, they kept back part of it. They lied to God. Well, I do not believe everyone sold everything, as we read in the book of Acts. We read in some places in the scriptures where people retained property after they were saved. In Acts chapter 12, it talks about that. I don't believe that people were instructed that they had to sell everything after they got saved. If that had been the case, then some might conclude that selling everything a person had was a prerequisite to be saved. And we know that works of any kind or money cannot save. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says this, that it's not by works of righteousness. And Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 talks about this. It says, once again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, it says, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." In Acts chapter 16 and verse 15, it says, "And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Well, you need to be sharing the gospel with other people in this world if you are a saved person. And if you're not saved, you need to let Christ save you before it's too late.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.